the first fruits of them that slept.
And our forerunner.
He's called the first fruits.
And he's called the forerunner. In the ninth chapter of Hebrews, we read that he appeared once
in the end of the ages and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
When he died on the cross, he cried, "Finished." He settled the sin question for time and eternity. And to make it sure, we read in Hebrews 9:12 that he entered once into heaven by his own blood and obtained eternal redemption for us. It has been obtained. It is available. God will have all men to be saved.
There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There remaineth no more offering for sin. And if you're saved, there remaineth no more remembrance of sin. There remaineth no more conscience of sin. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, you have no more four times. And it's all because of faith in the crucified Lamb of God. But the statement there is that this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Christ sat down more than 1,900 years ago. He's still sitting. He's going to stand up before long because, behold, the judge standeth at the door. He's going to stand up and be ready to come to this earth for judgment. Before that, the church is going home to glory to meet him. Now, Hebrews 9:26, now 9:24 says, he's not appearing in the holy place made with hands. That was only a figure. He's in heaven itself, there in the presence of God to appear for us. Every Christian is represented in the presence of the holy God, who is a just and a righteous judge, but a compassionate, merciful, long-suffering Savior. Christ is in the presence of God in your behalf and mine if you've been redeemed by God's grace and the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And because he ever lives to make intercession for those who've been redeemed, God is able to save them to the uttermost. And that word panteleo, uttermost, means all the way to the end. You have it in a different form in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he that began the good work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He not only began it, but he's going to finish it. And to give us the guarantee, he sealed us with the Holy Spirit, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. We have an advocate at God's right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ, the intercessor. We have an intercessor within us who makes pleadings for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, the Holy Spirit. By him we're sealed on the day of redemption. That's the guarantee that we're going to heaven. If you want to know the absolute proof that you are going to heaven forever, that you're saved, then be conscious of the indwelling Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive because the world knoweth him not and seeth him not. Then there was the ninth chapter of Hebrews. Then the 28th verse says, as he was once offered to bear the sins of many, unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time apart from sin unto salvation. He did appear, he doth appear, he shall appear. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Our citizenship is in heaven.
And we look for the Savior who will change these bodies of humiliation that they may be fashioned like unto his body of glory. So we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, we read this. Very interesting. I think we have a song we sing, "Will Your Anchor Hold?" Now this is why your anchor will hold if you're really anchored. We read here in the 13th verse of the 6th chapter of Hebrews, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." And so after Abram had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed his promise with an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is not possible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. If you have not fled, my dear friend, if you are not here mentioned as those who fled to lay hold for refuge to lay hold upon the hope, do it tonight, this Easter night. Notice, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, Jesus made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now this word forerunner is a very interesting Greek word. It's made up of two words, and it means runner ahead. Runner ahead. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He said, "I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up again." He laid down his life, and on the third day, as he said, he took up his life, and he had his resurrection body. He said, "Touch me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. He ate fish and bread in his resurrection body. And after he showed himself to 500 Christians, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and while they were looking at him, he went up. And they watched as he went up, and they said, "Why do you stand here gazing up there idly? This same Jesus that you see go up into heaven is coming back as you see him go." Well, you know what he said in the 21st chapter of Luke. He said, "When the times of the Gentile have been fulfilled, you shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory." In Revelation 1:7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and all eyes shall see him, and they that pierced him, and all nations shall mourn because of him." And Jude tells us that Enoch was a prophet, and he said, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all the ungodly sinners for all the ungodly sins that they have ungodly committed." So you see, we have many times the statement that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Now he's up in heaven, and he ran ahead. What did he do when he ran ahead? Well, we're told in 2 Timothy 1:10 that he abolished death, and he has brought life and incorruptibility to light through the gospel. And then we're told in Colossians that he spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. We're told in the first chapter of Ephesians that
God raised him far above all principalities and powers and made him head over all things to the church, which is his body. So there's a glorified man at God's right hand. Somebody asked me this morning where they could get that little tract. Norman Camp wrote that tract some years ago. Who is the oldest man alive? And the oldest man alive is the man Christ Jesus in heaven. He's alive forevermore. That's what he told John on the Isle of Patmos. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Very interesting little tract if you can get it yet. All right, now we turn to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, notice, in the 20th verse, now Christ has been raised from the dead. He has become the first fruits of them that slept. You remember what Peter said the day before Pentecost? David hath not yet ascended up to heaven. David's body has gone to corruption. And Mary's body has gone to corruption. Don't you let anybody tell you that the Virgin Mary's gone to heaven in a body. Nobody's gone to heaven in a body. I don't know where Enoch and Elijah are. They're the only two. They've gone somewhere. God has them. They had resurrection bodies. But there are no bodies yet that have gone except the first fruits of them that slept, the Lord Jesus. You remember in the 3rd chapter of John, it says, no man hath ascended up to heaven except the Son of Man which came down from heaven, who is also in heaven. He's the first fruits, just one sample. Well, wherever you have first fruits, you have a harvest. And that first fruits is a sample. So whatever kind of a body the Lord Jesus Christ had when he went home to glory, that's the kind of a body that you and I are going to have. With what body do they come, the Corinthians, the fickle Corinthians, as? Well, he said, thou fool, that which thou sowest shall not be alive till it first perish, and it has to die. And as we born the image of the earthly, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. And notice what he says. Now has Christ been raised from the dead, and is become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death. Now, there's one thing that we know. Anyone who is rational and sane, in his right mind, knows this. That every single person on this earth is by nature a sinner. We're conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. No matter what theory they may hold, there's nothing better to prove it, the universality of sin, than what God says, by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men because all have sinned. Now notice what it says here. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Now the 51st verse in closing. Behold, I show you a secret. You'd think everybody would say, why, what a wonderful thing. You know, people like to hear secrets. If you got a secret and you say, come here, I got a secret to tell you. My, they're all ears. Especially if it's a little gossip. But this isn't that kind of secret. Notice, behold, I show you a secret. We shall not all sleep. When you think of the little babies that are being born into this world and the people that are dying, go out to the cemetery and read on the slabs, every age, death is no respecter of person. You think this epidemic of death is going to keep on? Isn't there going to be something that will stop it? Are all of the 2 billion now living going to die, and then 4 billion the next generation all going to die? Is that what's going to happen? Is this thing going to keep up? Satan is the one who had the power of death. Well, how is this epidemic of death going to be stopped? Well, here you have it. Behold, I show you a secret. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. I read that one time here in a minute. And when I got home, I got fits from my wife. She said, "Don't you know a moment is not a minute? It doesn't take you 60 seconds to twinkle your eye. A moment is less than a second. How long does it take you to twinkle your eye?" Just like that. How long do you think it took God to raise Enoch? Enoch walked with God and Enoch would not. God took him. He went in a hurry. This thing's going to happen in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. How long does it take you to twinkle your eye? What's going to happen? Notice. The trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now there's a great mistake in this next verse. It says, O death, where is thy sting? But it doesn't say, O grave, where is thy victory? It says, O hell, where is thy victory? There's a difference between the grave and hell. O death, where is thy sting? O Hades, where is thy victory? What two keys did the Lord Jesus Christ have? He had the key of death and Hades. He didn't have the key of death and the grave. He had the key of death and hell when he met John. Now, if you want the hell shut up so you can't get into it, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, you're going to be there. And when you get there, you'll never get out. He was there. And God would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption, neither would he leave his soul in hell. He, by the grace of God, tasted every phase of death for you and me. As we told you in Isaiah 53:9, the word death there is in the plural, death. He made his deaths with the wicked, with the rich in his in the grave. Now notice. O death, where is thy sting? O hell, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Anyone here that hasn't been made alive, if you do not pass out of death into life before you leave this world, then you're not going to be there at the resurrection of the just. I want to tell you that night time came in my life that just as definitely as I came through that door into this auditorium, one night I passed out of death into life through faith in a crucified and resurrected Christ. This isn't religion. If you have any religion, take it and put it on the scrap heap like Paul did. And after that he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, that I might know him in the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection. Let's bow our heads a moment in prayer. We thank God for those who received the Lord this morning. And tonight, if you're in here, if you're not sure about your salvation, as we have this prayer, may we remember you. Pray, every one of you here. And if you're not saved, are you willing, by just lifting your hand, we don't want you to stand, we don't want you to say anything, but just by lifting your hand, say, God helping me the best I know how, I do here and now acknowledge that I'm the sinner for whom Christ died, and the best I know how I receive him as my Savior. There may be someone unsaved. Let's pray just quietly for a moment and pray that God by the Holy Spirit will do that which we can't do. We can't convict them. You pray for any who may be unsaved just now very definitely. Our heads are bowed in prayer. If you'd like to be saved tonight, if you're willing to be saved, if you will be saved in God's way, will you quietly lift your hand up? Just by that acknowledging that you're receiving Christ as your Savior. Will you let us pray for you in this closing moment? God bless you. Put up your hand. We'll pray for you just as we close. Are you willing to be saved tonight? We're not asking you to join this church or get religion. We're asking you to say, God helping me the best to know how, I do here and now receive Christ as my Savior. Then you can have the joy of salvation and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in the believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.